Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
But this morning I'm going to speak a message entitled The Race. This is going to be a three-part message. Here in a few weeks, I'm excited. The Lord laid it on my heart to have a couple of our people speak later in the month, and I'm excited for that. But the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be on this topic called The Race, and I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read 24 and 25. It says, I'm going to read out of the NIV. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." How many knows if I'm going to run a race, I might as well run to win? Amen? All right. In verse 25, it says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you speak to us through your word this morning. We believe that your word is alive and well, God, and sharper than a double-edged sword. And this morning, God, I pray that it will penetrate straight to our spirits. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. Would you give the worship team a hand this morning? Somebody shout, "I'm in a race." So I just believe that if you're going to run, that you might as well run to win. If I'm going to run a race, I'm not going to do it just to sweat and to be tired and to stink when I get home. I'm going to run that thing to win. And a lot of things go into training in order to win a race. Well, I want you to look at somebody and just say, "Run, baby, run." Look at somebody else and say, "You better run, baby." All right. Very good. Today I'm going to talk about how to run your race well. These are going to be the next 3 weeks. The first segment today is going to be the preparation, and we're going to talk about the race. The second part is going to be the perseverance. That's the price we pay to run a race. I can tell you right now that if I signed up for a 5K race, I would probably be the very last one pulling in the rear at that race right now. You know why? Because I haven't paid the price to win. And I believe there's a lot of Christians who are running a race, but they have not paid the price to win the race. Now, we're going to talk about that. Don't crucify me yet. Now, watch this. The third part is going to be the performance. The performance. Here's the thing that I found out about serving Christ, that we are going to be judged. Look at somebody and say, "You're going to be judged." Not by me. But we are going to be judged, the Bible says, according to our works. And so God is allowing us the opportunity to perform well in our walk with Christ. And as we perform, as we do things for the kingdom of God, as we produce results for the kingdom of God, listen, in fact, the Bible just says, hey, we're just called to be obedient. And as we're walking in life in obedience, then God is going to give us a prize that is a reward in heaven. The Bible says that moth will not get to it. Decay will not form. Listen, this is a prize that will last forever. That's the best kind of prize that you can win. But today, we're going to talk about the preparation. The preparation. Number one, we're going to talk about joining the team. How many knows you? If you're going to be on a track team or you're going to be on a cross-country team, you better join the team first, right? I can't just show up for the Magnolia High School and run track. I've got to join the team. And so my son joined the track team last year, and that gave him the privilege to running the race. Joining the team is like accepting Jesus. Romans 10:9 says this, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Now, a lot of people try to add and take away to the scripture, but I'm telling you, the Bible says all you got to do is believe in your heart and confess in your mouth, and you will be saved. anybody, anywhere, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how far you've lived from Christ, God came and He sent His Son to die for you. Anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord is able to be saved. Accepting Jesus is like joining the team, not finishing the race. A lot of people believe that the whole experience with Christ starts and ends with a prayer that was said in an altar or with baptism. Listen, joining the team, listen, it's just accepting Christ is like the beginning of your journey. Man, I'm thankful that I have a whole lifetime of serving God, getting to know Him better, knowing what makes Him tick, learning in intimacy with Him, learning of what He likes, what He doesn't like, learning how to run my race and being productive in the kingdom of God. Accepting Jesus is like joining the team, not finishing the race. A lot of people believe in instant sanctification. Man, when you say, Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior, they think, man, the process has started and finished right there. No, that's not what God says. God says that He will complete the good work that He began within us. That means it's a process. The Bible also tells us to work out our own salvation. That means there's some work to do. That means whenever I wake up in the morning, I have to decide, am I going to live like Jesus or am I going to live like Travis? Because if I live like Travis, I'm not living very well. Travis wasn't a very good guy. But the Holy Ghost came and filled me and gave me the power and the grace and the mercy to wake up every morning and say, I'm going to lay down my cross. I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to put to death the sinful nature and I'm going to work out my salvation. The Bible says with fear and trembling, knowing that God is going to judge me one day for how I woke up today and how I live my life. This is the relationship with Jesus Christ. This is why it's called new birth. And I know we're very elementary today, but we're talking this month about winning people to Jesus. And sometimes we go look for the people who are all cleaned up and clean shaved and got everything together and everything's going good in their life. But how many knows that God is looking for somebody that new birth is messy? I know. I've got 5 kids. New birth is messy. I was there for 3 of the births. Would have been there for the other 2 if I could have. New birth is messy. Can I tell you this? New birth stinks. I thought I was going to throw up whenever I smelled my new baby. I was like, man, everybody said, you're going to see them and fall in love. I was like, ugh. Are they supposed to be sticky? Right? Okay, that may be too much. But anyway, it usually is. It usually is too much. All right. New birth is messy, man. But I'm thankful that Jesus saw me and He said, I know He's going to be messy. I know He's going to make some mistakes and I know He's going to poop in some diapers. But I'm telling you that He is worth it and I want to lay my... I believe Jesus is saying, man, that if I could lay my life down for them again, I would do it because they're worth it. New birth may be messy. Man, God, the people that God may put in your path may not be the people you want. Well... I've been down that road a few times. Lord, that's not the one I was looking for. I don't throw that one back. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, I haven't been fishing in a long time. I think I keep everything. I don't know. But anyway, but look, the way that God works is He puts people that He knows that need you, that need your voice and need your experiences and need your testimony. And He will put those people, and it may not be the people you want or the people you're looking for, but I'm telling you that every soul is worth it to Jesus. Every soul. It's new birth. It is a beginning. When my babies were born, they were not born with a deep theology of who God was. They were not born with knowing how to eat and drink and use the potty. You know, they made messes. I had one kid that liked to make their messes on me. I'm not kidding. I have had poop in my eyes. Don't ask me how it happened, but it's possible. At my house, we have had poop on the ceiling. Nobody's ever come to my house again. It was a different house. That house is long gone. Bless the hearts of those who live there. And so I'm telling you, they made messes. They throw up on you, man. It's you know, and we see this in practical with people who come to know Jesus. They need help. They need help to grow. They don't know how to read the word. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know. Listen, they need you. Listen, whenever your job does not stop whenever you get them through the doors of church. They need you to come alongside them and say, hey, do you have a Bible? Let me show you how to read the Bible. Let me give you some ideas of where to start reading in the Bible. Let me tell you about a Bible study we have on Wednesday nights, a small group that you can get involved in where you can make connections and build and learn. And they need somebody. And you know what? They need somebody to answer the phone when they call because they're going through something that they don't know how to deal with. This is the new birth that we have experienced. Aren't you glad that somebody was there for you when you gave your heart to Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. It's a new thing, and we have to realize that it is a process. Accepting Jesus is like making him your coach. It's like making him your coach. How many knows if you play for the NFL and you have a coach, and you can be a star quarterback, man. You can throw the ball like nobody else ever has before. But if you ignore the coach, you're going to be without a job. Right? If you ignore the coach and the coach tells you to do something and you ignore it and you say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, then you're going to be out of a job. Well, accepting Jesus is like making him your coach. We say, Jesus, be my Lord and be my Savior, right? You got to confess him as your Lord. That means you are confessing him as the one who's going to call the shots in your life. The one who's going to help you make decisions. You're saying, God, I want to live a life that is pleasing to you. I want to do what you call me to do. I want you to call the plays in my life. And so listen, if the coach says you're going to run in this lane or when you go around this corner, I want you to speed up a little, whatever it is, well, you're going to listen to the coach and you're going to do what he says because the coach not only has your best interest in mind, but he has the best interest in the family of God. And our coach knows the end from the beginning. So he already knows the outcome. And so how many knows if you knew that your coach knew exactly what was going to happen whenever you make this play and he knew it was going to be good, how many would want to be listening? If you went to buy a lottery ticket and you knew exactly what numbers were going to be called, how many knows you would pick those numbers? Don't go buy a lottery ticket. I don't endorse that. I'm not endorsing gambling in the name of Jesus. Please don't tell your friends. My pastor said that I could gamble. Please don't do that, okay? We're doing financial peace. You'll see why that's a bad idea. Okay, now listen. If you knew the numbers that you need to pick for the lottery, you would pick them. But Jesus knows exactly what's going to cause you to prosper. He knows exactly what's going to cause. Listen, we serve an omnipotent, omniscient, and all-knowing God. We serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. And so we need to listen to his voice and do what he tells us to do. Because he has plans to what? Prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope in a future. Remember, the coach calls the shots, not you. Remember, the coach calls the shots, not you. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I don't have to just figure things out, but I have a God who the Bible says he orders the steps of the righteous. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. He guides me. He directs me. He leads me. Listen, the Bible says this, he leads me to lie down in green pastures. But guess what? He's also the one who's leading us down the valley of the shadow of death as well. In fact, he's going before us. So I serve a God who's going to call the shots, not me. I don't have to figure things out, but we are going to depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So number one, you've got to join the team. Number two, you got to suit up. Everybody say suit up. If I were going to run a race today, I would probably not do it in my dress shoes and in jeans that I can barely bend in because I've gained a little weight, and a belt and a button-up shirt. I probably wouldn't do that. This morning when I got to church, I had some workout shorts on and a polo because I know I was going to be baptizing people. Listen, I mean, it's just you would dress appropriately for the race. My kids, I don't know how this happened. You know, used to they weren't involved in any sports. But now they're involved in tennis and track and all this different stuff. And every sport requires different shoes. Well, you can't wear running shoes to tennis because you might twist your ankle. You can't wear your tennis shoes to track because they're too heavy. And so all this different stuff or whatever it is, I can't remember how, but it's just, and it's like, you got to have enough bounce in one of them. And I'm like, this is crazy, you know, but you got to suit up for the race. And I believe that the best thing that you can do to suit up for the race is to equip yourself with the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that when we are saved, that God's Spirit indwells inside of us. It is equipping us to do every good work that we are called to do through Christ Jesus. We are equipped with the Holy Spirit. We are equipped with His grace. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord." Somebody say, "The Spirit." "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." The Spirit, somebody say, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Can I tell you that if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, what makes us think that we can succeed without Him? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to perform signs, wonders, and miracles, how many of you know if He told us to go and do even greater things than He did, that we might need the help of the Holy Ghost? We might need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to make sure that we equip ourselves with the Holy Spirit. John 3:34 says, "For He sent by God, He speaks God's words. For God gives Him the Spirit without limit." Whew. Now this is an amazing thing. We're talking about Jesus, right? He speaks God's words. He's doing mighty miracles, man. He is raising the dead to life because God grants Him the Spirit without limit. And God said that we're going to do even greater things. Can I tell you that you have access to the Holy Spirit of God? And you have an access that is a limitless access to the Holy Spirit. To God's power. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of us. That same Spirit is capable to do anything that God has called you to do. That same Spirit has equipped you to win your race. We've got to suit up and make sure that we are living a life that is being led and activated by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4 through 5, it says, "Once when He was eating with them, He commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that He promised, as He told you before.' And John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, it was a joy and a privilege to baptize Amber in water this morning. That's a command of Christ to do this, right? And we baptized Amber. And when we baptized Amber in that water that was cold, let me tell you, that was some cold water. Wasn't it, Amber? Where are you? It was cold. If she wasn't saved before, she is now. Gave me flashbacks. I don't know. We used to have a baptism tank that didn't have a heater. So, but when she came out of that water, She didn't just have a trickle of water on her. She was immersed in water, completely covered and drenched in water. Sometimes I think we think that when Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost, he goes like Catholic on us and like just sprinkles us, right? Sprinkles us with a little, ooh, I feel goosebumps. Right? No, man, that's not the way it works. Jesus came. He's the baptizer. He came and immerses us in the Holy Ghost until we are completely covered with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit, how many has ever heard the statement, the Holy Ghost was all over her tonight? Man, that is what God wants, man. He wants you to be full to the overflowing of the Holy Spirit of God without limit. That whenever God places someone in your path, you have everything that you need to win that person to Jesus. Listen, that's what it's all about. It's not about feeling electricity in my fingers when I raise them to Jesus. Your hands may be asleep. Now, I felt the Holy Ghost in a physical way, but you know, I mean, if it's all about feelings, we might as well go home. Because I can guarantee you, I can create feelings through music and atmospheres in movies. I can tell you to go home and watch a movie that will give you goosebumps. There's movies and books called Goosebumps. The devil knows how to manipulate your feelings. Twist it and turn it and make you think that you're feeling something you're not. But I know a God who immerses us in the Holy Ghost, that when someone is hurting, and why is the Holy Spirit upon Jesus? To set the captives free, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to make to give liberty to those in captivity. Listen, that is why the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, was to make a difference in the world that he was living in. That's the same reason the Holy Spirit came to you. It's not so that we can jump around the pews and scream and holler and dance. I'm not against any of that. Just don't hurt yourself. But look, he came so that you can make a difference. And if we're not making a difference with the Holy Spirit, then I think we got the wrong spirit. Okay. I'm leaving town as soon as we're done here, so... The Holy Spirit gives you the power that you need to succeed. Can I say that again? The Holy Spirit gives you the power you need to succeed. Number three, you've got to study the course. Understanding your journey with Christ. I'm going to close with this point this morning. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says this. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. Somebody say the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and his gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Thank you, Pastor, for making me feel good today. You are welcome. Listen to this. This is the scary part. And only a few will ever find it. You see, the race that God has called us to run is more like a cross-country race, not a sprint. You know, I've watched several races live, you know, and I'm talking about foot races here, not NASCAR. Now, NASCAR is what I like to watch on TV, just being honest. But I'm talking about foot race, and you've got these runners, and they're on a track that is paved and smooth. And, you know, that's one kind of race. And it takes some endurance to run that kind of race. It really does. But then I've seen people run cross country. And they're running through trails and in wooded areas and uphills and down slopes and different things. And the course is not paved and smooth like a track race is. You see, the course is full of ups and downs, twists and turns, potholes and bumps in the road. How many is with me in your walk with Christ? It may just be me, but my walk hasn't just been real smooth. It hasn't just been easy all the time. It hasn't been a race that came without, listen, the Bible teaches us over and over and over, you better be able to persevere. You better be able to press through. Hey, Jesus told his own disciples, hey guys, man, you guys are going to do this awesome ministry and I'm calling you and I'm equipping you and I'm going to do everything I can for you. And one day I'm going to leave all of this ministry to you and you're going to go out like lambs to the slaughter. Sign me up, Jesus, right? I'm going to lead you out like lambs to the slaughter. Where is the greasy gospel, easy faith that's being preached in churches all over America today? I've never experienced it. In fact, but how many knows there are good times? And when those good times come, I'm like, I'm hanging on, baby. I'm not letting this one go, right? Because I know that something's around the corner. God will give you a mountaintop experience because he knows you're about to walk into the valley. He'll give you a mountaintop goosebump kind of feeling, right? Because he knows you're about to walk into the valley where the devil is, right? Okay. Are you with me? This is the kind of race that God's called us to run. But listen to what Luke 3:5 says, the valleys will be filled and the mountains and hills will be made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places will be made smooth. God's saying, hey, yeah, you're going to go through some mountains and valleys and twists and turns and bumps and all of that. But you know what I'm going to do? As you walk with the Holy Spirit, is I'm even going to make those rough places smooth. I'm going to make it to where you can still prosper. And the course may be hard. It may be difficult. It may cause you to sweat. And it may cause you to even at times wonder if you're on the right path. But I serve a God who's going to straighten all of that out. And who's going to make it smooth. And he's going to make it to where you will still overcome. And you will still succeed. I want to give you an example that just happened to my family yesterday. It's awesome. To me, it's just an awesome story. So we took our kids to the retreat center north of Hot Springs yesterday and dropped them off for the pastor's kids retreat. And so they're at a retreat this weekend with nothing but pastor's kids. You even have to be a pastor's kid to work there. And so they all kind of know what it's like being a PK and all this stuff. So anyway, they're getting a lot of Jesus this morning. Instead of being at church, they're at Magic Springs this morning. And they're like, man, these kids are at church more than anybody else on the planet. You know, pastor's kids are. And so instead of at church this morning, they took on a Magic Springs. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome. Now, they snuck into service last night, but it kind of tricks them a little bit, I think. All right. And so they're at Magic Springs this morning, having a good time. We drop them off, and we're leaving Hot Springs, and we decided to go a different way than we came because we wanted kind of the more scenic route. You know, we wanted to go Highway 7. Those that go to Hot Springs, you know what I'm talking about. We wanted to go Highway 7, go around the lake, and there was a little shop we wanted to stop at on the way, little furniture. They make furniture and stuff. And so we had all this planned out, and so we're leaving town, and the Holy Spirit prompts us to stop at happy hour at Sonic. To get some iced tea, okay? I better clarify. I was like, happy hour, okay? So, it was iced tea, I promise, okay? Yep. That's the hard drinks at my house, iced tea. That's because we only get water, so iced tea is a treat. So, we stop and we get iced tea with extra ice is how we order. And we get back in our vehicle. And we're leaving town, and we're about halfway between Hot Springs and Arkadelphia. And we're going up a hill, around a curve. It's like a hill like this, going around a curve. And our van just shuts down. just powers down. The whole thing just, it went whoom, dead. No warning, no nothing, just dead. And then all these things come up on the screen. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and this is wrong. See a Toyota dealer immediately. Now, we bought a Toyota. It's a 2015, only got 34,000 miles on it. You know, these things are supposed to last till, you know, 300,000 miles, you know, we've heard. You know, I mean, this stuff is not supposed to happen. So we're going up this hill, and Pamela's like, what do I do? I'm like, well, there's really nothing to do. We're dead. And there's a drop-off. You can't pull off the road. So we just stop, right? We just stop, put our flashers on, and we pray. Right? And almost immediately, I literally get out of my car, walk around to the back, and almost immediately, someone stops. And it's a man probably maybe a little older than me, and he's got his family in a van. And he stops and he says, man, let me help you. Let me help you. And I said, man, thank you so much. I've got a baby in the car. You know, it's already hot. I mean, it's just been a minute. It was hot yesterday. And so, you know, thank you very much. And he said, well, just put your baby in the van. I'm like, man, I'm not putting my baby in your van. What are you talking about? And so, you crazy? Thank you for helping, but no. And I said, Pamela, you and the baby go get in the van. And so almost immediately, Pamela and the baby are in an air-conditioned van with a family. Now, how many people would stop with their family to help us? On a windy road, we're in a dangerous spot. We're in a curve on a hill with a drop-off. And so long story short is this guy stays and he helps us. Almost immediately after he gets out to help us, another guy gets out and helps us, and we push our van up the hill, around the curve, and down the hill where I jumped in real fast and steered it into a parking lot, right? And now we're safe. And I thank God, and then I'm sitting there, and God, you are good, man. It went really fast. Went really, really fast. And then I'm looking around, I'm like, where's my wife and baby? And it takes them a minute. And here they come with the van and their family with my wife and baby. And they park beside us, and they start getting out water and baby wipes to clean up because we're a sweaty mess by now, right? Me and this guy. And they start taking care of our needs. And they said, we're not leaving here until the wrecker gets here to get your vehicle. And then we're going to take you back to Hot Springs to the Toyota place. And then we're not going to leave there until you have not just a rental car, but the rental car that you want to take you home. And I thought, how many people would do this nowadays, right? And so we get everything worked out. They take us back to the Toyota place, which is a ways away at this point. And the guy said, you know, he said, we weren't doing anything today. And we were trying to figure out what to do. And we said, you know what, let's just, they lived in Arkadelphia. They said, let's just go to Arkadelphia. We'll go to Lowe's or something, which is right past the Toyota place, right? No, Toyota place is on the way. Let's just go to Lowe's. And they said, when we got in the car, we thought, this is kind of weird for us. This is abnormal for us to do something like this. God, show us somebody that we can help today. They actually prayed that prayer. Listen, whenever the woman met Pamela and Pamela told her, who, you know, that you know, her name and everything, immediately that lady started lifting her hands and praying out loud for us, for our family, and that God would take care of it. Can I tell you that those people took us on, we were on their way, took us to the Toyota place, stayed there with us just like they said they would. The Toyota place gave us a pickup truck. That family wasn't happy. They said, no, 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 that's not going to work. They said, that's all we've got. They said, no, this family has 5 kids at home. They need something bigger and something that'll fit their whole family. They're like, we don't have anything. Well, they're like, you need to find something now. They bought a van from you guys, you know, and a van, it's still under warranty and it's not supposed to break. You buy a toy, and they're like giving them the spiel, man. Like stuff I probably wouldn't do, just to be honest. They're giving them the spiel, and they're like, they need something. And so here in a minute, this manager comes out and like, you know, we're going to break the rules today. We're going to break the rules today, and we're going to give you a brand new Toyota Highlander. It's got 6 miles on it, has not even went through the tagging process. We're gonna get it tagged real quick for you guys, and we're going to let you. He said, we don't know how long it's going to take to get your vehicle. You guys just keep it as long as you want to. Treat it like it's y'all's, you know, and we're not worried about anything here. We're not going to charge you for it. We're not going and we will find a way to make sure that whatever we found out our van was just a few months past the bumper-to-bumper warranty. And they said we're going to find a way to make sure that everything that's incurred with this vehicle is covered under warranty somehow. You guys won't have to pay anything. Can we give God praise for that? So the family's still sitting there. And they're like, hey, we want to give y'all some gas money because we saw that the vehicle they're giving you only has a quarter tank of gas. We're like, no, we're not taking any gas. And we didn't. They're like, well, we'll take you out to eat. And, you know, and they're just going above and beyond. They're like, God put you in our path today. We prayed. He had us go to Hot Springs at just the right time where when we passed y'all, it was exactly when we broke down. I'm telling you that God will direct your steps and he will make your rough places smooth. They did not leave until we were pulling out of the parking lot, making sure that everything was okay. Now that's awesome. And we've got some new friends now, and they're planning on coming to Unity and, you know, and all this different stuff. They're coming to visit us, and I hope they're watching this today. I believe that God is going to bless you abundantly in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you that God even had it planned? We weren't planning on stopping at Sonic. God even had it planned to where we had large iced drinks to keep us cool in the heat. That's awesome. That's the way God works. He fills in the valleys. He smooths out the... Listen, walking with God does not ensure that you're not going to have problems, but it sure does ensure that God's going to be with you and he's going to help you every step of the way. You may be having to run a race and it may be hard, but I can tell you that God will never take you down a path that he has not equipped you to handle. No turn is too sharp. No heel. Listen, I wrote this message months ago. We're broke down on a hill and a curve. Listen to this again. No, where am I at? God will never take you down a path that has not equipped you to handle. No turn is too sharp. No hill is too high. And no valley is too deep. All you've got to do is run, baby, run. Can you stand with me this morning? Worship team, come. I'm telling you, God has equipped you to run your race.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.